8:22, my guest this morning, Illinois State Representative David Severn. Morning, Dave. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Tom. Good to be with you again this morning.
You know, I know a lot of people have been tugging on your ear, and I'm curious what they're saying about, well, what's going to be signed today at 12 noon. House Bill 3653, the Criminal Justice and Police Reform Bill. According to the governor's press release this morning, he'll be joined by lawmakers, members of law enforcement, and community advocates at State University in Chicago today at noon to sign this legislation. There's a great deal of concern.
Absolutely. And you notice that he's going to be signing that in Chicago. He's not going to be in the mid part of the state or in southern Illinois where everyone is absolutely against it. And, you know, it used to be, Tom, where everywhere I went, people wanted to know, when are you going to be able to get Mike Madigan out of his seat? Well, the question now, after, of course, him resigning this last week, everywhere I go, in fact, yesterday I was at Quello at a chicken and dumpling function that they have each month that I volunteer at. And the question was, is he really going to sign that bill? I said, folks, I said, he is. And I said, we're against it completely, but and we've asked people to, you know, phone his office, to email him, but to no avail. He's promised that he's going to do that, and that's what you have stated a few minutes ago on track for this morning. But it's not good for the state of Illinois. There's someone in my district that has moved away, and they're moving back. And over the weekend, the lady was texting back and forth to me. She said, Dave, she said, I love Southern Illinois. She said, it's a great place to raise my family, had a business, retired. We went out of state. We were coming back home. She said, I'm concerned. Southern Illinois has always been a great place to live, safe. She said, I'm concerned.
What is it in the bill that you and others are concerned with? Because I saw this when I posted the governor was going to sign it. People going, what's so bad about this law? Point this out to me. What's so bad about it?
Well, one of the big things as far as the cash bail, as far as going to do away with that. Now, it's going to take some time for that to happen. But the other thing, too, as far as what it'll do to police officers, I know that you've had discussions with Senator Terry Bryant and Representative Windhorst and different ones discussing the different issues about the bill. But what it does, it literally it handcuffs, no pun intended, our law enforcement staff throughout the state to be able to take care of our safety on a regular basis right here at home. If someone is on your property, someone is in your home, someone is in your business, the different things that you would be able to do before and now, what you'll be able to do or not be able to do, and how you're going to handle people that would be supposedly criminals, it's going to be very interesting to see how just this plays out. Now, I will tell you this, that when this bill passed on the House floor, Representative Windhorst went over and talked to Representative Slaughter because it was his bill, and Representative Slaughter and his staff said, we want to work with you on the language on this, because I think they realized almost a deer in the headlights that, oh my goodness, this passed, which they were so excited about, but also they realized that there was a lot of language in there that they didn't even know what it meant.
Yeah. Now, you talked about Mike Madigan just for a moment. When you stand back and look at this, Mike Madigan, Speaker of the House, right, a lot of control over state government in a lot of different ways, what goes to the floor, what doesn't, and you see an investigation where some people in ComEd are caught and they start pointing figures, there's public official A, where did the money go, and then there's an investigation, then the person who's the head of the investigative committee kills the committee and then goes on to become the Speaker of the House. And then the next thing you know, the speaker resigns after the prosecutor is fired by the administration. You look at this, the absurdity of it is almost mind-boggling.
Yeah, you know, we're very pleased to see Speaker Madigan not to be reelected as speaker, to step down as representative. But it just was, as you stated, that the powers to be that have our new speaker, you know, it isn't just by chance that he is in that position. And so he has reached out and said that he wants to work with the other side of the aisle, that he wants to clean up some things. So we'll see if that's window dressing or if he's serious about that. And so it's going to be very interesting to see just how things work here in the state in the upcoming months in this session.
Well, it's interesting because when I read some of your press release about the new speaker coming in and the setting of the rules, that basically my takeaway from your press release was new boss, same as the old boss.
That's exactly right. And again, he has said some things, But we feel like that, you know, Representative Welch coming in basically is Mr. Madigan's man and is going to be same old, same old. But he said he's going to do some things different. We'll see if he does that. But we really believe that you know, we've actually seen that as far as, here's an example for you. One of the changes is that in the past, we've had all kinds of tremendous, we felt like tremendous bills on the Republican side. They go to the Rules Committee, and they never get assigned to a committee. Well, one of the changes is the bills will now be assigned to a committee. The problem, and we thought, okay, that's really good, but if you look at the language and really the details of it, you get down into the weeds, it doesn't say that they'll actually be voted on. You'll get an up or down vote. It just says they will be assigned to a committee. So at first, it sounded really good, but when you looked at the details, they can now assign them to a committee, but never call them in the committee to have an opportunity to get an up or down vote and for us to actually discuss it. So that's the concern. We said that, you know, it looks like same old, same old.
And what's interesting is over 20 years, legislators have told me committees in the House are where good legislation goes to die. Good ideas go to die. It's interesting. I just saw a note come in from Steve Frattini of Herron saying thanks to Dave and the rest of the Southern Illinois legislators for opposing this bill that's to be signed today. Now, the budget last week, and I couldn't help but think about you when I was speaking to Senator Terry Bryant last week, because part of the budget is to redirecting money from cigarette taxes, which is supposed to go to rebuild Illinois. And if you are unaware, Dave Severin's district has probably, I think, the largest amount of road funds dedicated to it of any single district. Was it $110 million there, right, Dave? Am I right?
Yes, sir, it is. Actually, Senator Fowler's district, which is mine and Windhorst together, he has the largest Senate money that's appropriated for that. And myself, it's a tremendous amount. It's why we took the votes that we did. And go ahead, I'll let you take over there.
And that's where Senator Bryant brought this up, and I thought it was interesting. If that money is supposed to go in the lockbox, how can you intercept it? Because that is a new law, and once it's in that fund, it's not supposed to be moved. You can't rob the transportation fund.
That's exactly right, and we're going to look at that very closely, because that was what made sense to us, that, okay, we'll agree with what you're wanting to do with this, the rebuild project, because they promised that money is going to go in the lockbox. And, you know, I had people say, Representative, you know, this is the state of Illinois. They'll find some way. I said, no, it's not going to happen. I said, it's going to stay there. And sure enough, here we go, you know, a year, 2 years later, and the governor comes up with this this one-year deal, supposedly, that he's going to do this. And so very, very frustrating, very concerning, because here's the thing that Senator Bryant talked about, too, as far as the bridges in Southern Illinois that need to be repaired and the roads that need to be repaired that are being repaired and all the different projects that are so important and the jobs that brings to Southern Illinois and actually brings people back, people that had to leave the state. And so we're watching this, and we're going to put the pressure on the governor to do what's right and not play games with us.
You know, another item that came to the top on this budget address last week was the 10% decrease in the LGDF.
That's just absolutely ridiculous. And I know that when you had Brad Cole on last week, he discussed that and the concerns. And we just keep putting more and more pressure on local businesses, local entities, local factions as far as the counties. So here's the thing. We increase the jobs that they have to do, unfunded mandates, and then we put these carrots out in front of them, and it's about the time you get it, no, they take it back. And so that 10% of that that they're going to hold again is putting more and more pressure on our local municipalities. Not good.
All right, now quickly, because I got a couple items I want to talk about before I wrap up with you. Dave Severin's joining us this morning, because we're getting ready for a new session. Everybody's just sworn in, a new election. Paul Jacobs, right, New in the office, on the list goes. But that also means new committee assignments. What have you been assigned this year, this session?
Yes, so actually, this is my, I'm starting my third term, which enables me to be a spokesperson for a committee. So actually, I'm a spokesperson for three committees. One is tourism. They didn't have a tourism committee last session, but we brought that back. And so I'm proud to be the spokesperson on the Republican side in the House for that. And also Representative Jacobs is going to participate in that committee. And also Tim Butler, who's up in Springfield. So, you know, the opportunities that we have here in Southern Illinois, and it's so important that we encourage tourism here in Southern Illinois. I'm very proud of the fact that a lot of times people will come from the northern part of the state, come and visit, or they'll actually come to SIU, fall in love with Southern Illinois, and stay here. So I'm working very hard every day to promote tourism, and I'll be the spokesperson on that committee. Also on Jude Krim, I'm proud to serve as a spokesperson on that committee. That's where that HB 3653 came through. And Representative Windhorse is on that, Representative McCombie. And then we have five other new members because of transition of representatives have left the House. And so that'll be a very, very busy, interesting committee. And then also mental health, addiction, I'm also the spokesperson on that. And, of course, all the mental health concerns there are with addictions that we've seen increase with the pandemic this last year. So I'll be very busy as a spokesperson for those communities. Besides some of the others that I'm serving on.
I think we've only begun to scrape the mental health issues. I really do. It's one of the things I'm concerned about. More and more people are coming to me.
Yes, sir.
And saying this is, I have really a lot of concern with this, especially when it comes to kids. Now, before I let you go, legislative efforts on your behalf, what are you filing for legislation this upcoming session, Dave?
Yeah, you know, so this the first one is fireworks, to legalize fireworks in the state of Illinois, and it would be... And people are like, oh, are you wanting to legalize the big commercial stuff? No, we want to start the. I got this idea. I think I shared last year, but it didn't get out of committee again. It talked about that rules thing, but you know, everybody in the state of Illinois goes and buys their fireworks out of state, spends their money across the state lines. The other states get the sales tax. Other states have the jobs, and we come back to Illinois and shoot them off. So. That's one piece of legislation. Also, a sales tax piece of legislation that the Energy Culvert Company, actually the owner from there, he called me and gave me this idea, and we hope to get this passed, Tom. It only makes sense that Illinois companies would have the same opportunities when they're bidding against out-of-state companies. So what happens is if an Illinois company is bidding for the exact same product as an out-of-state company, and if the out-of-state company's sales tax for that state is lower than Illinois' on a large project, now these are not municipalities where there's no tax anyways, but this would be for a profit bid. They get beat a lot of times just on the sales tax on a large project. And so this, to me, just makes sense that we need to be business friendly to the state of Illinois. That school state of affairs, statement of affairs, a bill that I haven't been able to get passed the last two sessions. Actually, Representative Ammons out of Champaign, she called me. She said, hey, Rep, would you run that again? She said, I'd like to take that bill. She said, I think we can get that thing passed. So we're going to work together on that. Also, there's a film credit bill that if, in fact, you are going to have a movie in the state of Illinois, if you're going to have a film company come in, if you're going to create some jobs or some tax credits there, so there's some good stuff that we've got. Also, there's a pension bill for teachers and staff that if, in fact, during this pandemic that you were actually on campus, you were in the classroom, you have an opportunity to buy for every day that you were in class, that you were working, you can buy a day towards your retirement. So that would help those that actually were in class rather than those that you know, were fighting and not being in the classroom. So those are some of the things. Actually, there's one more on stun guns and tasers. That right now, those are illegal. We'd like to have those that would be a part of the concealed carry bill. And then also there's something for deputy fire chiefs. Right now, they're not able to have sirens on their vehicles, and so we'd like to have it where if, in fact, the different people are responding to a fire, that they would be able to have those things on their vehicles. So a lot of different things that we think make sense and opportunities to make the state better.
A retired member of the fire department, Carbondale, came to me on that horn issue, except that on the deputies, they said that they are not using the air horns that they used to use. They literally made that rumble. And as a result, there has been an increase in crashes between fire engines and private cars. And I thought that was interesting. He brought that to me. But this sales tax thing, that has me curious. That you lose out on a bid in your home state because the sales tax is so high. So the sales tax doesn't go into our coffers. It goes into another's. That's one I'm interested in.
Yeah, it makes no sense. In fact, when the gentleman brought that to me, I've been in the private sector my entire life. Our family was in the nursing home business, and I own a couple small businesses myself. And so I was like, well, this is just common sense. And he kind of laughed. He said, yeah, but this is also Illinois. I said, I will do everything I can to get this passed. This is not a Republican or a Democrat thing. This is business, and that's what makes the state of Illinois successful, is business and or the lack of it. And so we, to me, it should be a slam dunk, Tom.
Right.